You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Happy Thursday, everybody. Happy I guess it's not a victory Thursday. The Timberwolves lost the Memphis Grizzlies on Wednesday night by 4. However, it was a very entertaining game. Anthony Edwards dropped 42 points on 22 shots, had a career-high 7 assists, battled Ja Morant really kind of toe-to-toe in the second half of this game. The Wolves led for a good chunk of the late third, early fourth quarter. It was a lot of fun. Certainly a disappointing loss, some execution issues in the fourth quarter. Karl Anthony Towns had foul trouble. But, I mean, the story of the night is Anthony Edwards. And this is, I mean, he was unbelievable. And his most efficient game, only the game in Phoenix that's his only other 40 plus point game this season. And he had moments in this game. I mean, it just looked like he couldn't miss. It looked like the hoop was twice as big for him as anybody else. And there were some remarkable things about his performance that I want to talk about. So that's obviously going to be a key part of today's show, is dissecting Edwards' performance. We're going to start the post-game pod, though, as we normally do, which is kind of the game flow, how the game went, what, you know, my notes that I took throughout the game, and basically how we got to where we finished, how this thing ended up as a 139-135 Memphis victory. Second segment, we'll talk takeaways, key takeaways from this game. Obviously, that includes Anthony Edwards, as well as several things the Wolves didn't do well enough in this game. So we'll talk key takeaways, and then we'll get into individual studs and duds. I can tell you right now who the best player on the floor was in this one for the Timberwolves, and arguably really for either team. Ja Morant was fantastic, but Anthony Edwards was unbelievable. So we're going to talk about all that today on the postgame pod. A reminder that you can follow the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. That includes Google, Spotify, the all-new Odyssey app. It's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Again, you can follow on Apple. However, there's some syncing issues right now with several podcasts on Apple, so you may not be able to get the most recent episode. So if you usually listen there, be sure that you listen somewhere else for the time being. And of course, again, our friends at Odyssey is the best place to listen. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon. That's B Beacon, 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. All right, so this game got off to a pretty competitive start. I mean, it was fairly sloppy the first couple of minutes, and actually really the whole first quarter. The Wolves scored 29 points, but the offense didn't exactly have much in the way of a flow to it. There were some bad passes by Towns, some bad passes by D'Angelo Russell. By the way, D'Lo started for the first time since coming back from knee surgery, and Ricky Rubio is back on the bench. Rubio actually played a team low in minutes in this game, and Russell played 37 minutes, which was only Edwards played more minutes, and he had 5 turnovers in this game. D'Lo did. So both Towns and Russell were a little bit careless with the ball early in the game. And really throughout the game, this was actually kind of a theme, was the Wolves' 3 primary ball handlers in the starting lineup, which I guess 3 primary doesn't really make a lot of sense, but really the only 3 guys who handle the ball and initiate the offense, Edwards, Towns, and Russell combined in this game for 12 turnovers, whereas the 2 lower usage guys, McDaniels and Okogie, neither one of them committed a turnover in this game. But Edwards, Towns, and Russell all were a bit careless early, especially Towns and Russell, and the Wolves found themselves down 4 at the end of the first quarter. But I actually didn't think the Wolves' defense was that awful early. I thought they were doing a pretty good job. They just committed a lot of fouls. Memphis had a dozen free throw attempts, or I guess they had 10 or 11 by the end of the first quarter. They were in double figures in free throw attempts, and the Wolves only had like 4 attempts on the night. It evened out a little as the game went on, but especially early, Memphis got to the line a ton. And I actually thought the Wolves did a pretty good job not fouling at first. Towns was doing a really good job of playing defense in the paint, staying active in drop pick and roll coverage, and you know, covering 2 at the same time in a lot of cases, without fouling. But then he had a kind of a ticky-tack foul called on him, and then the third foul called on him was an awful call as well. And I think that was the offensive foul when he was trying to get post position and got called for, I forget who it was. He had somebody smaller on him. Maybe it was Dylan Brooks. Got called for hooking him and backing him down underneath the basket, which I thought was a really poor call. And the Wolves ended up being down 10 at halftime. They gave up 73 in the first half. They were down 73-63. Third quarter, Cat got into foul trouble, or continued to be in foul trouble. He actually picked up his 5th foul before the end of the third quarter. And Anthony Edwards, though, thankfully started to go off, was just making threes, had a fast break dunk. Immediately after the dunk, he kind of faked as though he was going to run up the court, turned around and just basically just pulled the pass out of midair as it was inbounded by Xavier Tillman. And Edwards intercepted the pass, got a layup. The basket happened so fast that the score bug operators at Bally Sports North didn't even realize it until after the commercial break that the score was 2 points off because he scored when the camera hadn't even switched back to the regular view. So Ant just was just unstoppable. I mean, he had a kind of a modest line at halftime after a really slow start, you know, a decent second quarter, and then he just went off in the third and fourth quarter. With Towns off the court, though, early in the fourth, or I should say the Wolves went on basically, it ended up being a 30-15 run in the third quarter, took a 5-point lead. They were up 93-88 with about 5 minutes or so left in the third quarter. And then by the end of the quarter, Memphis had kind of pushed back and had taken a 4-point lead. Remember, Towns is off the floor now with his fifth foul. And that continued into the fourth. And the Wolves Chris Finch tried to buy some time with Towns on the bench, but the Wolves never could regain that lead with him on the bench. And of course, the Wolves predictably struggled on the glass. I mean, Towns only had four rebounds in this game, but it's just a completely different look for the Wolves when Naz Reid's at the five and Karl Anthony Towns is off the floor. There just isn't any resistance on the glass consistently. And that was an issue down the stretch, even with Kat on the floor at that point. But Edwards stayed hot in the fourth quarter and the Wolves hung close. Down the stretch, Minnesota was within 2 points with just under 2 minutes to play. Towns had the ball on the left wing and fired a pass cross court, essentially to the right wing, just completely airmailed it and gave away a possession with the Wolves down just 2 points. The Grizzlies came down, John Morant made a shot, put them up four. D'Lo makes a shot on the other end. So now with a minute left, it's a 2-point game again. After a John Morant miss in the lane, though, Xavier Tillman, one of the Grizzlies' fantastic rookies, grabs an offensive rebound, kicks it out to Desmond Bane, another one of their rookies. He knocks down a 3-pointer and the Grizz go up 5 points with 55 seconds left. That's basically it at that point. The Wolves do draw a foul after a timeout. D'Angelo Russell kind of flopped and drew the sixth foul on Dylan Brooks and made a couple of free throws. But then Desmond Bane hits a three and Memphis is right back up by six with 35 seconds left. However, an Anthony Edwards three, after a pair of missed free throws by John Morant, Edwards made a three with 10 seconds left that made this a 3-point game after a foul, which actually they didn't show a replay, and watching it back, it's really tough to tell. But Okogie was called for a foul trying to tip away an inbounds pass away from Desmond Bane. Called for the foul. Bane misses the first free throw. So it's a 3-point game with not 8.5 seconds left. And if Bane misses again, the Wolves have no timeouts but can go up the court and tie the game with a three. He made the second one, though, so the Wolves ended up losing by four. And, you know, credit the Wolves, though, for sticking around in the final minute. They could have easily just kind of folded up shop and Ant stayed hot and hit a tough three to make this a one-possession game at the time. But it wasn't even really necessarily late-game execution other than a couple of bad turnovers from Towns. It was more just an inability to stop the Grizzlies defensively, which is obvious. I mean, they scored 139 in this game. Their worst quarter was a 32-point fourth quarter, Memphis's was. So defense was obviously an issue. Early in the game, it was defending without fouling. Late in the game, it was defensive rebounding and defending the three-point line. We'll talk about all those things here next segment. But this was just a fun game, and not just because it was so high-scoring, but because John Morant is just fun to watch in both isolation and ball screen action. And Anthony Edwards was just a freak in this game. So we're going to break down all that in the next segment. We look at key takeaways and specifically what the biggest issues were for the Wolves, diving into that a little bit, why that might be, and what did go well for Minnesota. Because there were a couple of things outside of Anthony Edwards that I want to highlight that actually did go fairly well for Minnesota in this game. So we'll get to all that next. Before we do, though, let's talk about our friends at Headspace. Wouldn't it be great if there were a pocket-sized guide that can help you sleep or focus or simply just be better? There is. And if you have 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Need some help falling asleep? Headspace has wind-down sessions their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free 1 month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today. All right, let's talk key takeaways from the Wolves' loss to the Grizzlies. Number one, Timberwolves offense was extremely sloppy early in this game. I wrote a couple of things down, and this is actually one of the things I'm going to touch on in the good section of the takeaways. The Timberwolves were active offensively. They had cutters flying all over the floor. D'Angelo Russell scored a basket on a cut. It was a nice back cut. He basically faked like he was going to come around to pin down and, for a catch on the perimeter, but he cut baseline and Towns hit him for a layup early in the game. There was a nice Josh Okogie, kind of a curl cut where he got the front of the rim and scored. And the Timberwolves were active, but they tried to be a little too kind of, they overpassed a little bit. D'Lo threw a couple balls out of bounds. Towns had a bad pass trying to find D'Lo. And Minnesota had this just kind of sloppy element to the offense. They still scored 29 in the quarter. The game was such a fast pace and Memphis was scoring so frequently that that's part of the reason they got to that point total. But the turnovers were just too much in terms of turnovers for the Wolves. Rebounding. I talked about this the other day. I think it was Monday's show. Maybe it was Tuesday. And I guess I jinxed them. The Timberwolves, they had not been out rebounded by more than one single rebound since the Clippers game, which was about 3 weeks ago now, and had been either minus one or better, or won the rebounding battle, and in the case of a couple games, by double digits ever since that point. However, in this game, they lost by 5 to the Grizzlies, and it was actually more than that until very late in this game. But they were minus 5. It was kind of hovering around that minus 7, minus 10 mark for much of the game. And the offensive rebounds were killers. I mean, they gave up 12 offensive rebounds to Memphis. There were a couple late that were significant. I mean, the one that led to the three-pointer by Desmond Bain that made this a five-point game. There was another one just a couple possessions before that. And while Towns was on the court, was off the court due to foul trouble, that was a huge part of what the Grizzlies were doing. Brandon Clark had 10 rebounds in 23 minutes. Four of them were offensive rebounds. He's always been a thorn in the Timberwolves side ever since I wanted the Timberwolves to draft him just a few years ago. But Brandon Clark was fantastic off the bench. Xavier Tillman was really good. 11-9 in 28 minutes. Jonas Valanciunas was actually fairly quiet in this game. He only had 9 points, 5 rebounds in 20 minutes, but the Grizzlies really leaned on the Tillman-Clark duo off the bench in this game. And that was enough. And Minnesota just could not do enough on the glass. Again, Towns, as I mentioned earlier, only had 4 rebounds, but he also only played 24 minutes because of the foul trouble. And nobody on Minnesota's team had more than 7 rebounds in this game. Nas had 7 rebounds in 25 minutes. Wancho only had 3 rebounds in 25 minutes. Jade McDaniels only had 3 rebounds in 26 minutes. He's your starting power forward. So just not a good rebounding game from the Wolves. And defensive rebounds are so important. And they just could not do that towards the end of the game. The biggest issue in this one, though, was stopping Ja Morant. And obviously that's easier said than done. He's really good. He had 37 points on 25 shots in this game. But the Wolves couldn't contain him in any way. It wasn't simply like, you know, having a plan to swarm him in the paint. It was, they couldn't contain it all. They started the game with Josh Okogie trying to cover him straight up and chase him around screens. And he's just too fast. And he would get around screens and he would get into the, you know, the mid range kind of, you know, the 10, 12 foot right around the elbows. And he would either make a floater. He'd get all the way to the rim. He'd stop and pivot and make a more difficult floater. He'd get fouled. He would kick out to the perimeter, which he started doing as the game went on and the Wolves continued to collapse to try and stop him. It was late in the game. Well, let's start at the beginning. So it was Okogie in the first half. Okogie had a terrible first half. I had in my notes, terrible game for Okogie. I was all prepared to talk about that. He was much better in the second half. Third quarter, Okogie was a big part of the Wolves' run. He had a big steal against Morant, kind of poked the ball away from behind after he'd gotten beat off the dribble. But the first half was miserable for Josh, and it was all because Ja Morant was aggressive, and the Wolves didn't have a good plan to help Josh try and slow him down. Second half, the Wolves tried Jaden McDaniels on Morant. He didn't fare any better. the length maybe helped a little, made things a little bit more difficult for Ja, but ultimately there wasn't a single defender that could slow him down. So late in the game, when it was a two possession game, the Wolves basically started collapsing their defense on Ja Morant and leaving open shooters on the perimeter. And that's when Memphis just really killed the Wolves. I mean, they shot 48% from three in this game, 14 to 29. A lot of that damage was late. It was Desmond Bane. It was Dylan Brooks. It was Kyle Anderson was 3 for 3 on threes. And I think all three of them were just completely wide open. A couple were in transition, I guess, but the driving kick game after causing the defense to collapse due to how dangerous he was in the paint, that worked for Ja Morant. 37 and 10, only four turnovers in 37 minutes when he was just controlling the game. He completely controlled the tempo. He controlled the Wolves' defense. He knew exactly. I mean, think back to D'Angelo Russell's a master in the pick and roll, right? Ja Morant does not have the shooting touch of D'Angelo Russell and is not quite as, I would say, it depends on your definition of dynamic. I would still say D'Angelo Russell is a more dynamic scorer because he can score effectively from all levels and is a great free throw shooter and all that stuff. Ja Morant is obviously more athletic than D'Angelo Russell. There's no question about that. He's more explosive, but he's not a threat from outside the arc. He's not quite as good of a mid-range jump shooter, obviously, as Russell, but he's so good with the floater game and so good in the paint. He controls the pick and roll game very similarly to D'Lo, but it's impressive to me because he doesn't have the scoring touch from outside of, 10, 12 feet like D'Lo does. But at any rate, he controlled the pick and roll game in the same way that D'Lo does when he's on. And Minnesota had no answer. I mean, they threw their best defenders at him individually with Okogie and McDaniels collapsing the defense. The only chance the Wolves had at that point was if Memphis clanked some open jumpers like they did early in this game. The Wolves did dodge some bullets in the first quarter, early second quarter, with Memphis missing open jumpers. That didn't happen late in this game. They drained their open threes, and that's how this game basically ended, was the Wolves just saying, hey, look, if we're going to try it, let's try and trap him on the perimeter. Let's collapse on him in the paint. Didn't matter. 14 to 25, 11 free throw attempts for Ja Morant, 8 made free throws, and that was that. I'm going to talk a little bit about Anthony Edwards next segment, but let me just point out, Ja Morant attempted 11 free throws in this game in 37 minutes. 11 free throws. How many did Anthony Edwards attempt in 38 minutes? One. He attempted one free throw. It doesn't seem right, does it? That was an issue in this game, was the lack of a whistle for Ant, and yet he still scored 42 on 22 shots. So there's that. But anyway, okay, good takeaways for the Wolves. There's a couple. One, Karl-Anthony Towns, so he's not going to be, he wasn't a clear stud for me in this game, and he's not going to be on that list. But I want to talk about his performance because he wasn't great, right? He only had 4 rebounds. He only played 24 minutes because of foul trouble. The reason why I want to talk about him is because he had a positive impact despite having a weird, I don't even know that I'd call it an off night. It was just a weird night. I mean, any night where Cat plays only 24 minutes is weird. And he had 5 fouls before the fourth quarter even started. He had to sit for the first 7-ish minutes of the fourth quarter. And, but the Wolves really fell apart without him on the floor, whether that was in the first half, second quarter, or late third, early fourth quarter in this game. Cat missed a bunch of shots he normally makes. He took a couple of tough ones because he got frustrated. And honestly, I don't know that he was actually fouled. Like, Ant should have attempted more than one free throw. There's no question about that. Towns attempted 5. That seemed about right. I mean, I really didn't think. He did the thing in the middle of this game where he gets a little bit dramatic about contact. He doesn't play well when other teams get really physical and he doesn't get whistles. And Cat got frustrated and he did the thing where he's very obviously frustrated to, just watching him. You can tell that he's agitated and he's kind of flailing around and that whole thing. I don't know that he was necessarily justified in that in this game, but you look up and he's 7 of 15. I mean, that's just a hair under 50%. He's 3 of 6 on threes in the game. He's 5 of 5 at the line. He's got 22 points in 24 minutes. It's hard to argue against that being a good performance, especially then you consider just how much they fell apart. The Wolves fell apart with Cat on the bench with the foul trouble. So I think he missed a couple of bunnies of easy shots that he normally makes, a couple of wide open, basically layups, kind of drop step, bank shots from 3 feet away that just rimmed out. And at some point there's a little bit of bad luck involved. I mean, 2 of those drop and he's 9 of 15, and we're talking about how he was efficient and scored, 26 points on 15 shots in 24 minutes, but he had some bad luck there. He just did. I mean, the only thing I can really critique here is the foul trouble. Which he did get into. And early, as I mentioned before, he did a good job early in the game not fouling, but that obviously didn't hold up. That was an issue in this game. And then also that stretch kind of very late second quarter into the third quarter when he was overly, demonstrative is not the right word, but maybe overly expressive with the lack of foul calls and just didn't kind of was out of the game really, not literally, but figuratively when he was on the court there for a few minutes. And in a game when he only actually literally was on the court for 24 minutes because of foul trouble, those are precious minutes that he just kind of, let pass by because he was so frustrated. He wasn't effective. So he's not a stud. He's not a dud in this game. He's not going to hit those lists. But overall, he was able to be effective despite not having his best game. And I think that was a positive thing. I just wish that he could have kept himself on the floor a little bit longer and been a little bit more with it late in this game. And then the last thing, I mentioned this just a minute ago, but the Wolves were active offensively. They did a good job with cutters. I mean, McDaniels was a solid cutter in this game. Wancho continues to be very active as a cutter, although he didn't make the shot attempts he got. And I talked about D'Lo cutting off the ball. We talked about that pretty extensively after, I forget which game it was. I think it was the Saturday loss. Most recently, I talked about how D'Lo was doing so well cutting off the ball. Maybe it was the win before that. And that was a thing a little bit again, although with Ricky Rubio not in the starting lineup, D'Lo controlled the action a lot more. Jordan McLaughlin actually didn't get off the bench. He was a DNP CD in this game. So we saw less D'Lo and Rubio together, which actually that should be one of my key takeaways as well, was the rotation with no J-Mac. We saw Russell and Rubio play minutes together in the first quarter when Towns hit the bench for his first rest. We saw less of Russell and Rubio together as the game went on. But those minutes were okay. They weren't overly effective. And we've kind of seen a mixed bag of that so far this year with those two on the court together. But at any rate, D'Lo as a cutter is really fun to watch. And we saw a little bit less of that in this game. But for the most part, the Wolves cutters were active and it was a good, certainly a good piece of the offense to have rolling. I mean, the Wolves scored 135 points. So grand scheme of things, the offense wasn't really the issue outside of the early turnovers. It was, again, more defense, more rebounding than anything else. Okay, I want to get into individual studs and duds. We're going to do that next. Before we get to that, though, let's talk about our friends at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. You can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including the MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's also talk about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices that you prefer. And best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. They're the exact same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Okay, let's talk individual studs and duds from this game. Number one stud for me, have not talked about him since the opening. Anthony Edwards was unbelievable. 42 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. His 42 points came on 22 shots, 17 of 22 from the field. A sparkling 8 of 9 from outside the arc. That means he was 9 of 13 from inside the arc in this game. And across the board, he was fantastic. There's really nothing to complain about. I mean, He was a team best plus 11. He only had 3 turnovers in 38 minutes, a team high 38 minutes, handled the ball a fair amount, especially second half, 7 assists, a steal and a block. He did commit 4 fouls, but 42 on 22 shots. The craziest thing about this line is that he attempted 1 free throw. I mean, and it's not like he was only shooting threes. He attempted, what did I say? 13 2-point shots, and 10 of them were in the paint. Or excuse me, 12 of them were in the paint. Only 1 of them was outside the paint. And that was even, it was like an elbow jumper, basically, or a floater. Everything else was in the paint. How did he only attempt 1 free throw? I mean, he was going through guys, over guys, around guys, and didn't get but 1 foul call. It boggles the mind in a game that Memphis shot 28 free throws and like 12 of them were in the first 13 minutes of the game. It just makes no sense. And he was actually finishing really well at the rim too. The Wolves kind of had this stint in the first half where they were just missing layups. Everybody was missing layups. Kat, Rubio, D'Lo, everybody missed layups. Ant, I think, missed 1 early, but he was really good. He had a really nice 2-footed dunk from the hash mark in the middle of the paint. In the first half, he had a couple of nice buckets in transition. He had the steal on the inbound and the layup in the third quarter. Just a fantastic all-around game. And it was, his shot selection was actually really good early. Yeah, he attempted 9 threes, but they didn't get crazy until he was already so hot that it didn't matter. Nobody cared, and every shot was basically a heat check. And he made 8 of the 9 of them. So we can't complain about shot selection, but it was legitimately good. The first half of those threes were in rhythm. Most of them were on the catch. There were a few of the flat-footed off-the-bounce threes. I think he attempted like 2 of those in this game, maybe 3. And he made most of them. He only missed 1 3 in the game. So the shot selection was mostly really good for Ant, and he made the tough shots he took. He didn't shoot mid-range jumpers, which is another thing. It's really hard for me to talk too much about Anthony Edwards without harkening back to the Wiggins rookie year. And maybe I should stop doing that because they're obviously different players at this stage in their respective careers. But Wiggins was all about the mid-range shot. Ant does not shoot mid-range jumpers very often. He didn't shoot a single one in this game. He only shot the 1 kind of elbow jumper. But that's it. I mean, we're talking about all of these were within 10 feet. He only shot 1 non-paint or non-three-pointer from beyond 10 feet. It's just crazy. I mean, and he's really bought in. Not that he was shooting a bunch of mid-range jumpers earlier this season, because he wasn't really, but he's really bought into the, hey, you're bigger and I guess not bigger than everyone, but stronger and quicker than basically everybody on the court on any given night, more athletic. Just get downhill and get into the paint and score. And Chris Finch has sent that message to Ant very clearly, and he's listening. And he deserves more than 1 free throw attempt, by the way. And his free throw, it's been trending up for weeks now. It has been. It was really, really bad early this season, and I talked quite a bit about it. But he attempted 11 free throws last time out against the Pelicans on Saturday. That was an overtime game, but he attempted 11 free throws. The 4 games before this, though, only 3 free throws a game in each of those 4 games, 3 free throw attempts. Saturday against the Pelicans was only the second time all season. Excuse me, the third time all season he's been in double-digit free throw attempts in a game, which is crazy. I mean, this is a guy who, I get it. Early this year, it was a lot of threes. He's gone through these bouts where it's been like, you know, he can't help but shoot threes. But he's been shooting basically 18 shots a game since he became a starter, field goals from the floor, and his free throw rate should be higher than it is. It just should be. So that's something to keep monitoring, and I guess now we've only got 6 games left this season, but that's a number that should go up next year. And there's no reason. It's not like he's entirely avoiding contact either. He's actually absorbing it in a lot of cases. And he's so strong, he goes through guys. It's not the same thing as Shaq, but I'm not saying it's all that different, where Shaq in the post, it wouldn't get foul calls because he would just, like, you know, guys would just bounce off of him. And even though he was taking hits, he wasn't getting as many calls as he probably should have. Anthony Edwards is like the guard version of Shaq. I mean, that's where we're headed with this thing, right? I mean, he's literally just getting downhill. He's like a guard version of Zion Williamson in that respect, but he's not getting the foul calls that he deserves. And I'd like to see that change, whether it's over the last 6 games of the season or not, I don't know, but we'll see heading to next year. The second stud for me in this game, so I can't give it to Naz Reid quickly on Naz. This was a tale of two halves. He was fantastic in the first half, pretty bad in the second half when Towns went out of the game. His minutes with Cat when he was at the four were pretty good. Without Cat in the first half, very good. Second half was pretty bad for Nas. So it was, even though he had 14 and 7, it was a really kind of decidedly mixed bag. And he was on the court for much of Memphis's comeback late third, early fourth quarter. So I can't give it to Nas, even though the numbers are there. My second stud's actually going to be Jared Vanderbilt. 8.5 rebounds in 26 minutes. This was the most minutes he played since late February. The loss to the Bulls in overtime, which was the second game of the Chris Finch era. This is the most minutes he's played since then. That was, 9 weeks ago? More than 2 months ago was the last time Vanderbilt played more than 24 minutes in a game. And here he was, 26 minutes, 4 of 5 shooting, 8 and 5, 2 steals and a block in those 26 minutes. And played the dunker spot really well. Had a couple of lay-ins, just kind of biding his time, and the timing and the spacing that he provides is good enough, and he can finish. He's finishing a lot better in the paint than he was earlier this season. Defensively, though, he was all over the place. He was flying around. I'm surprised he only had 5 rebounds. It felt like he was more active. He had more deflections than his 2 steals reflect. He was very good defensively, especially during that Wolves third quarter run. And so he was rewarded with heavy minutes in this one. And I would expect we'll see more of him on Friday in Miami as well, because he's played so well of late, and especially in this game here on Wednesday against Memphis. The third star for me is D'Angelo Russell. He didn't have an outstanding game, but he had 22 and 14. And I mean, that matters. He was 6 of 13 shooting, so roughly the same percentage as Towns. 2 of 5 outside the arc, a game after shooting, 1 of 11 the other night? He was 2 of 5 in this one. 8 of 8 at the free throw line, one of the better free throw or foul drawing performances we'll see from D'Lo. So 22 and 14 on 13 shots. He did have 5 turnovers and 4 rebounds in 37 minutes. Outside of the sloppy first quarter, D'Lo was actually really good down the stretch. Hit a couple of shots, hit some free throws, drew a foul, you know, kept the Wolves in it within a couple of possessions in the final minute. So overall, pretty good game from D'Lo and his return to the starting lineup. Dud for me in this game leading the way is, we'll go with two today. One's Ricky Rubio. He had 2 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds in 17 minutes, a team low 17 minutes, 0 of 3 shooting from the field, missed both of his 3-point attempts in the first half, had wide open looks that he missed. And it just wasn't very good in this game. Different role, right? I mean, him and D'Lo effectively flopped roles, except for that Rubio's obviously going to play less off the bench than Russell was. So not a great game from him. Juancho Hernan Gomez had 11 and 3, but his 11 points came on 10 shots, and he was 2 of 6 from 3-point range. Missed a couple of pretty easy lay-ins at the rim off of nice cuts. And so, I mean, those go in. We're talking, you know, if he had to play this game again, if he had 15 or 16 points on 10 shots and 25 minutes off the bench, it's a different story. But he missed some point blank shots. He missed a couple of wide open threes. And, you know, just not a great performance from Juancho after he's played a lot better of late. 11 points off the bench isn't bad, but he's got to make those open attempts. And if he's going to be a cutter, and he actually tried to score off the dribble a couple of times in this game, and was not successful doing that either. So not the best game from Juancho. All right, so overall, putting a bow in this game, definitely disappointing after the Wolves took a 2-possession lead late in the third quarter and were within 2 points with a couple minutes left, that this team now with Towns and Russell healthy could not defeat the Grizzlies. They went 0-3 against Memphis this year, and obviously Memphis is going to be in the play-in tournament. They're now a game above 500, so they're not a bad team by any means. They've been a little bit underwhelming this year, and they're now finally relatively healthy as well, almost entirely healthy, which we haven't seen in the previous matchups between the Wolves and the Grizzlies. But going 0-3 against the Grizzlies this year is disappointing. It was fun to see John Morant again and see him play well, but Minnesota just could not contain him, and that was the biggest thing. Defensive rebounding and inability to contain the ball in pick-and-roll game were the biggest issues for Minnesota, despite a solid offensive performance. You know, 49% from three, 52% from the field, 135 points scored, 42 points from Ant, and a monster performance. But it's just not enough when you can't defend and you can't rebound the ball on that end of the floor. All right, that's all we have for you today. The Wolves next, though, will take on the Miami Heat Friday night in Miami in South Beach. That's a 7 p.m. Central tip, so an 8 p.m. Eastern tip on Friday night. This is the final road trip of the season. Minnesota has 3 games on the road before returning home for a final 3-game homestand. They're at Miami Friday, at Orlando Sunday, and at Detroit next Tuesday. So more of a regular one day on, one day off situation here over the next few days. And then the final homestand is a Thursday, Saturday, Sunday next weekend. So we've only got about 10 more days, 11 more days of the Timberwolves season. And then we look ahead to the draft. And believe me, we'll have plenty of draft coverage here on the show. So Friday's show, we're going to preview the Miami Heat game on Friday night and among other things. So be sure you're following the podcast. If you're not already, you can follow the podcast anywhere that you like to listen to podcasts, including Google, Spotify, and the all-new Audacy app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. And my account is at bbeacon on Twitter. That's at bbeacon, two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. A reminder that today's show is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room is changing the way that we talk sports. That's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.